We are from the Home Tech Podcast, Christian Johnson, Jim Collison. We're going to take a look, kind of a first look at Windows Server 2012 Essentials. Just came out today. Today's July 11th, and it came out this afternoon, or I think it came out at noon Pacific. Doesn't really matter. It's out and available. The beta is out and available. And, of course, Microsoft has been touting this for those of us in the Windows Home Server community as the replacement for the Windows Home Server 2011 in the future. It's kind of more of a small business server product than it is a home server product, but they have jammed in, or they said they've jammed in some of the features that were in 2011. We're going to take a first look. I haven't set up every possible scenario, but we wanted to give chance, we wanted to give folks a chance to kind of take a look at what it looks like, and so we'll, with that, we'll just get started. Did I leave anything out, Christian?
No, it sounds about accurate.
All right. So this is just the start screen. If you've been testing Windows 8 at all in its beta form, you're actually going to see a lot of things that make it look like Windows 8. And so what you typically do on a Windows 8 screen, you just flick the screen up. But on the server, they've changed that to send a Control-Alt-Delete, so I'm going to do that through. I am using Oracle's VirtualBox to get this done, so this is on a... Currently, it's on a Core i3 with about 8 gig of RAM, and I'm running it on top of Windows 7. And we installed the server actually last night. I'm a Microsoft MVP for Windows Home Server, and so I have access to the builds. And so we put it on. I actually installed this. The install is not very difficult. I was able to use most of the default processes. Christian was quizzing me about the domain setup, and that has probably gotten the most amount of traffic or the most amount of questions on this, because it does look like it's going to force you into a domain of some kind, whether you can attach it to a domain. Christian, you guys have a domain already set up at your place, and I imagine you just connect this. If you were going to install this in your environment, you just add it to the current domain settings? Is that what your domain...
Yeah, that's what we were hoping, because in the Small Business Server 2008, I think, is it 208 or 11? I can't remember, but
the 2011 current, Essentials. I think it's
2011. Yeah. If you install that, it wants to be the domain controller, which means if you have an existing domain, you can't join that product to your domain without it becoming the master thing, and that limits you to 75 users. Not that we would go over 75 users, but we already have the data center acting as our domain controller, so that wasn't really a viable solution for us. So with this, we're looking at wanting to be able to upgrade our current 2008 controller to a 2012 and be able to add Essentials in for the similar backup features of Windows Home Server as a member of the domain, but certainly not being the master domain controller, especially because there's a lot of talk about the new features that will be similar to what Drive Extender was with storage pooling and backup and the dashboard. So I think it'll be a nice cross for where we are, where we have a lot of enterprise technology in a home environment, and we still want some of those things in Home Server.
Yeah, well, and so, but you guys are kind of you're an extreme. I hate to use all those words, outlier, extreme, whatever. You're not your typical home user, and so most folks are going to want to install this in probably a domainless environment if they're home server users. And on setup, I'm pretty sure that it did require me to choose or pick a domain to put it in. Now, we're going to talk about the client setup here in a little bit, but at this point, it's running just fine. I put in the average guy, I think the average guy TV as, or something like that, as the domain. We can show that here in just a second. But Christian, it's behind my firewall. It set up a domain. Is there anything that's going to change in my own local environment now that I have a domain set up? I mean, is there anything I need to be worried about that this thing now has a domain?
Well, what's going to be interesting to see is that when you have a domain computer, the normal expectation is that you join your clients to the domain. So the first thing is, if the workgroup has been completely eliminated from this package, a lot of the traditional ways in which you just create shares and set permissions will change, because it's not And I need to check because it's been a while since I've had this environment. But when you're running a domain computer on a network where none of the other computers are connected to the domain or in a different domain, normally it doesn't show up, and it's you have to get really funky with credentials in order to get into that other domain that's not part of the normal network. So,
in the case of the
usual file sharing system, it's very well possible that could change. And what I'd have to see more of is, so like in Home Server 2011, you create your users right in the dashboard, right? But they're not. It's not like those users are tied into any login accounts for the other computers. Well, that's not so in a domain because the users you're creating on the domain can log into computers joined to the domain. So if they are switching over to that model, you could start to see a lot of stuff change. Not in a major way, but definitely a difference that could impede how a lot of people are used to implementing it.
Sure. Okay. Well, let me before we dive into what that domain looks like, let me just kind of quick do a, you know, this is the first look, so we don't intend to go deep or too deep on any one topic, but the goal over the next 30 or 45 minutes is just kind of do a high-level overview of what the product looks like. I think a lot of folks were anxious right out of the bat that they were in, you know, you and I kind of talked about this on Thursday during the home, you know, the home tech podcast, is this Metro screen, right, that you're seeing right here. This is Metro in all its full glory, and so it contains PowerShell and kind of the old My Computer or Computer Tab, Task Manager, Control Panel, IE10, linked to the desktop, and by the way, you can change these if you want. You can make them smaller. I'll just move that one up and get the desktop. Ooh, I got a nice little picture on the desktop when I did that. Administrator tools and the store. And let's just click on the store. This is really just a replica of what's going on inside of Windows 8, both RT and in the Pro version. If you've been, we've been beta testing those for a while. And so, just a look inside of what's currently going on. Now you got games on the server. That's pretty cool. You probably got Solitaire and some of those pieces. But the store is there. You'll get updates through the store, I'd imagine, if it works anything like Windows 8. And so that's there. That's some of the apps. In fact, it is the same store that you get through Windows 8. So, Christian, on a server, this kind of seems unnecessary a little bit. We don't have to go opinion here, but yeah, I imagine they're doing this to get updates, right? You'll get your updates through this as well.
Well, this looks consumer to me, but I would have expected updates to be from the Windows update panels. I don't really see where this is relevant.
Well, they'll put updates. They'll put product updates right up here in the upper right-hand corner if this works anything like Windows 8. So there's no updates to it now because it just came out today. But you're going to see, we see in Windows 8, we see the operating system updates come through here. So I don't know. The verdict is still out. We won't pass any judgment on that. Here at this point. You can see, we'll take a look, here's the PowerShell interface, if you've worked with PowerShell at all, and this is what you like to refer to as DOS. Is this what you're referring to?
Yeah, PowerShell has a bit more advanced commands, but as far as I'm concerned, not really something the average guy should be looking at.
Sure. I think if you're going to use this as a home server, you're probably not going to be in PowerShell. But that's the interface. It's as simple as that. You can get to My Computer through to click on that tab. This gives you your typical, you know, in this case, this is installed on a VM with 100 gig of space available for it. One of the things it did do different here, Christian, is it did not install a data drive that the typical Windows home server install would do, is it would slice up 60 gig for the OS, and then it would turn the rest into a data partition. I think this is where it's more like small business server.
Right, so the technology is changing a bit here because we're getting some of that drive pooling like interface back with Drive Extender, and so I think they really have pretty much abandoned that model of saying your hard drive can only be X big, because now that they're moving into the domain and there's a lot of other technologies available in this that aren't part of what the home server vision was, they can't limit that C drive to X amount of gigabytes realistically if this is supposed to be scalable throughout small and medium-sized businesses. So I would expect to see that change. I'd be surprised, actually, if it if it stayed the way 2011 home server is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think this is, I think you're right. It's going to stay this way. But this is the regular computer control panel. Like, you know, you expect to get your network devices there, your computer, in a second, we'll come over here and go to the computer properties and look at the domain. But, the CD drive is showing up only, I'm running this virtualized, and actually I've got a Drobo FS that I use for all my ISOs. And so every version of Windows 7, both pre-SP1 and SP1, Windows 8, any of the beta stuff I do, I actually just throw on the Drobo on the network, and then using Oracle VirtualBox, I can attach the CD drive to that network location and really kind of pull in any of those ISOs that I want. It's kind of a nice way of being able to quickly deploy or install VMs. There's other ways to do it as well. I could have virtual images and that kind of stuff associated with it, but that's how I kind of get that done. Okay, so that's the computer. Task Manager is just that. It's an easy way. You know, it does flip over to the desktop and gives you the Task Manager. It's showing me right now that store is running. Nothing cool or sexy about that. Control Panel is what you would expect. The control panel hasn't changed any from Windows 7 and maybe even Vista. This again looks very much like Windows 8, and the way that works in the client. The server or the administrative tools are there as well, and you can see they probably add a few more. I don't know. I haven't compared this to Windows Home Server, so I don't know what's new and what's not. But again, your access to your administrative tools are through that. And then, and of course, you can just take a clean desktop if you want to. And this takes you to the desktop. You can see we're on build 8400, and we are on the first version of that. And
I've this lost is where the it's, desktop.
I'm sorry?
Lost your desktop.
I'm oh, you thinking. Lost it?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see. I'm still seeing it here. So let's, here, let me do this. I'll pop out. And do you see me?
Yes.
Okay, so let's pop this back in. Do you see now?
Yes.
All right, perfect. So the only icon on the desktop at this point is the dashboard, and as we get into the dashboard, we see it's changed a little bit from what we saw in Windows Home Server 2011. Orange and yellow squares, it has definitely been metroized, and they've gone square with everything. What hasn't really changed, though, is kind of what the look and feel across the what was in the dashboard before. So while they made it more metro, they have definitely not changed where things are laid out. So we're in the home screen. This is where you're going to set up. You're going to do most of your setup if you're going to add user accounts, set up your server backup, set up anywhere access, that's remote access from the old days, set up email alert notifications, and set this up as a media server. Now, if you're coming from the small business server community, that media server piece was not available to you in the past, and that is now being made available here. This is, you know, Christian, I'm really imagining them cutting and pasting that code from 2011 and just adding it to Smalls Business Server. I know there's more to it than that, but that's when I think of, like, oh yeah, it's everything that was there, but we jammed in the media server. So we'll look at that here in just a second. But across the top, these have really not changed from Windows Home Server 2011. And even
this is interesting right here, because for me, my question is, are these users domain users or local group users? It's going to be interesting to figure out.
Yeah, if we add it, well, we could come back at this some point, add a user here and see if they show up, you know, then go look at the user in the administrative tools and see exactly how they show up. So that's maybe a little more of a deep dive than we want to do, but we can. That's a good question.
Yeah, and when we get a chance to head back to the administrative tools as well.
Yeah, we can take a look at these. So you can add the users right from this interface. That was available for devices. In here, we have this will support up to 25 PCs or 50 devices. And again, this is a very similar layout and look to what we saw before.
In 2011.
Get some info. Yep, in 2011. Storage, same two folders. So the server folders, you can see it does not create as many as it did in Home Server 2011. But you have client backups. That was there before. Company, file history backups, folder redirection, and user folders that are out there by default, and you can open those, move them, If we are going to add a data drive, I don't currently have one on there, but you'd use the move folder options that are there. You can add them as well. And a little task, understanding server folders if you haven't done that before. Hard drives, in this case, we just have one. I probably could go in and assign another one, but at this point I don't. This is advanced storage spaces is here. So I don't have a second drive to add to it yet. Maybe we'll make a second video at some point and talk about storage spaces, but that's showing up as an option there. And then some, how do I increase storage on the server? It'll take you to some online information. Christian, did you test storage spaces at all when it came out on server 8?
Not. Okay, so are we talking server 2008 as a...
No, as we're talking server 8 beta, the very first beta for this 2012 product.
Okay, no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. We did a little testing with it, and there's some information on it over at the Home Server Show community. So if you go to homeservershow.com, Mike Fauché, I think, did some testing on storage spaces and speed. That's out there. I'm kind of interested in adding some drives to it and see what it does. This is all in a VM, so I can't just plug in drives at this point and make it work, although I could create some, but we'll come back to that. Storage spaces is in there and available. I have not done any add-ins. I know John Zadler has been messing with the add-ins. I was hoping he would pop out tonight and join us a little bit. I couldn't track him down. The add-in community, I know he tried some 2011 add-ins and they didn't work. And so I think, I think some are going to work and some probably aren't at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Lights Out may find its way back in here really quick.
Think so?
Yeah, I think because they're going to be out of a huge market if they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, as it goes that direction. Settings, the settings tab up in the upper right hand corner continues just to be much and very, very similar to what was in Home Server 2011. You have a general and a media and an anywhere access. So this is just your general tab. You can install we were talking about updates, right? The change and install updates is still here if you want to do it from the dashboard. And so if you click on that, you'll see, there's one optional update available for me at this point. Let's see what it is. Silverlight.
Yeah, that's expected.
Isn't that convenient? Okay. See, Dan.
Yeah, this looks very similar. Besides the change in the green icon, the settings layout is virtually the same as 2011.
Yeah. Yeah, very similar. A media tab, and right now I have the media server turned off. But you can turn that on and enable that, and it will give you some options about video streaming quality, and then I didn't even use the media stuff, so I'm not as familiar with it. I know you guys are Subsonic users. Are you using the media options on 2011?
Not really, no. We have home. I think we have the archive service for the recorded TV, and that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I was using that as well. And Dave just posted the first look of some of the screenshots that I put out at thehomeservershow.com, so you can go out and take a peek at a look at that if you haven't done it as well. A lot of the material we'll be covering over at homeservershow.com, so if you're listening to the recorded version of this, not only we'll talk about it here, but we'll talk about it over at thehomeservershow.com. And then anywhere access, of course, is just remote access. I haven't configured that since my version 1 box, so I just haven't used. I do come back in. I've been kind of using live mesh through the live services that Microsoft provides. So I don't come through here and access my PCs that way. Okay. What else? That's a rundown. There's some setups. There's some add-ins that we're not going to cover. Dan had said in chat, you'd think that storage spaces would show up somewhere else on the dashboard. Dan, what are you thinking? I mean, that's the storage tab, and it's the hard drives. When those hard drives start showing up, or at least the way it worked in Windows 8, is when those hard drives were available, I could click on one and say add it to the storage space. And it would then, in this case, it's the this is the same exact wizard that was available to us in the server 8 beta, and I'm going to create a new pool. It's going to walk me through a setup that, and in this case, I don't have any, there's no drives to work with at this point. It's not going to let me go any farther, but maybe a little bit later on, we can come back and talk about the adding a drive in there and get that documented as well. Christian, you want me to dive into that domain piece? You want to talk a little bit about what you saw in there?
Well, I wanted to stop back at that administration tools panel first to get an idea of what server technologies are in here.
So you want to go back to the administrator tools?
Yeah.
Okay.
So click your top Active Directory Administrative Center. So what's interesting here is that, well, it's not interesting per se, but so it's clear that Active Directory is on here, which is why it's a domain. So you can look on the left-hand side. You have your average guy local. That's the name of the domain we have set up in this virtual machine. And let's see. Let's blow this up full screen. And let's go ahead and we want, see, this is what's interesting, is that it's got the built-in folder. Oh, there it is on the bottom. Hit the users folder.
Say that again, I'm sorry. Click on users.
Yeah.
Double click?
Yep.
Okay,
and so it looks like the dad user and the guest user, both of which we saw in our home server control panel, are in Active Directory. So this gives me a first impression that any kind of credentials you're setting up in this operating system is going to be based on a domain. So I'm thinking for the purposes of extensibility, if you're looking for this to be your replacement to home server, you're going to have to learn some, not crazily, but you're going to have to learn some of the basics of domain management so that you can not keep kicking yourself in the foot trying to access file shares and stuff and not understand the user permissions. Now, from what it looks like it'll be the same in the sense that, like, yes, I can create my users in the control panel like I would in home server. I can go to my network places and double-click the server and bring up the shares by entering my credentials. That's fine. But I think some of the users who are on the borderline between consumer and, like, semi-geek would get a lot of benefit from learning how to join their workstation to the domain, which really isn't that much harder than joining it to a work group name. It's, you know, go to computer properties, type in the domain name, type in the administrator account. And then as you decide how much you want to spend time learning in this server will determine how powerful your domains come. I mean, you could do everything from just joining it to the domain and having credentials automated because you did that process, or you could go all the way out to learning how to do group policy to automate Windows updates and control what users can and cannot do on the computer. But so there's kind of the bridge of both technologies now where, like, some of the guys, like, in the home server community who would have wanted, you know, who were angry that the EULA prevented them from being able to install domain stuff, that is now gone in this version. So there's a lot more extensibility.
Well, you know, so as you mentioned that, I remember a day when a lot of folks wanted domain access and they couldn't get it, and now they have it. Now, I didn't like it. At one point, I uninstalled 2011 because it had crashed on me a couple times, and I put in SBS 2011 Essentials, and it forced me in the domain at this point. I created it as the domain controller. And as soon as I installed the, as soon as I installed the client on the desktop, it forced that PC in the domain, and I didn't want that because I didn't want I didn't want to have to give or force username and passwords on, even though we have them. I could have set them up in there. I didn't want that initial overhead from a home standpoint where it forced it in and then I needed to change the username and password. And maybe there's a way around that I just don't know at this point. But I quickly moved away from Small Business Server and went back to 2011 because I didn't want it taking that PC over and putting it on the domain. That felt too heavy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, the cool thing about the domain is that, like, if you really, like, you couldn't just figure it out and it was heavy, then you can unjoin it from the domain and go back without much cost to your system. The one main advantage of domains is that everyone has their own user account, right? But if John wants to use Paula's laptop, he can log in with his credentials, even though he's never been on her computer before, and not screw up all of her stuff.
Yeah,
all her settings. And his user profile, right, so.
Yeah, it adds an element of, to me, it added a little heavier element, just for me, right? That's just my opinion. It added a little heavy element of some tracking and stuff I didn't want to have to deal with. So I went back. I'll have to mess around with this a little bit more. You know, at the 425 price range, at least that's where it's starting. It'll probably be a little bit cheaper than that for the average user. I didn't want to mess around. Zadler, if you're listening, I know you're out there in chat. If you're listening, join us. You got some things to say here. So Christian, as I'm looking at this control panel, I created two users when I set up the PC. I created I think this is more of an admin user, that's me, that's Jim, and then a client or a login user that called Dad. I use that across my network a little bit. So it seems like, right, if I create it in the control panel, it's going to create it here. Is that right?
Right, because it's going to be, if it's a domain server, so any user or credential that gets created goes to Active Directory.
And if I create it here, so if I create a test user here, that's going to show up in the control panel as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a little more complex. Let's see if I can just quickly set one up. What else is it going to require from me? I guess I'm going to have to make it a member of something at this point. Do I have to have it join?
So,
I mean, certainly. This is a more complicated way of adding users than just going through the dashboard, right?
Right. But, I mean, here this gives you the options to set specific, you know, like this guy's a backup operator, but he's not a whatever, but no one's going to be doing that. But basically, this is a different panel, actually, from what it looks like in 2008, Server 2008. So basically all the stuff here you're seeing is a laid-out version of how it looks in 2008, where everything, these are basically all the tabs that are in the old 2008 style interface, but really all you have to do is type in the name. The only things that are essential are really the name, password, and what domain they're part of and what permissions they have. All this other stuff is more for, like, if you're a company or organization and you're tracking data.
Hey, John Zadler.
Hello there.
How are you?
Doing all right. I'm actually working on version 1, Windows Home Server version 1.
What are you doing with that?
My nephew has my old version 1 box, and he's got some for some reason it died on him. You know, with these boxes, when they're headless, right? It's like they're flashing lights, and you don't know what to do. So that's it. I think he had like a power failure, and then the thing goes into check disk. Right, so then it starts to check all the drives, and you know, if you have 2 terabyte drives, you know, three or four of them, it'll take hours and hours. So it's like, you know, it's going for 4 hours, 5 hours, and it's not booting up, so he shuts it off. You know.
Right. Right.
So.
Right.
Unless you have a video, like I made a cable to connect to it
to
like
access
what's going
it.
On.
Yeah. Well, we thought we'd take a first look and walk through it. We kind of went through the Metro interface. Christian's been talking a little bit about server administration from a user standpoint. We dove. Christian, anything else that you wanted to cover in here?
No, I think John has some insights I'm interested in.
Scott Baker said, so it does require a domain. John, we're pretty sure at this point. I mean, in a setup, it makes you add a domain. Or, I mean, it makes you set up a domain, right? And I was talking to you last night when we set this up. So I'm pretty sure you can't get past the domain setup, right?
Yeah, well, that's it's a domain server, but like when you add the clients, you don't have to add them, like switch them over. You know, you can keep them separate. They don't have to be controlled by. You have the choice.
Okay, so let's do a client install. You guys, let's walk through that real quick because I think there's a lot of people who have a lot of questions on that client install. So let me, Christian, is that all right if we pop into the client install? You okay with that?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, let me switch my screen. John, I assume you've done a client install.
But that's it. But I added it. I did choose to add it to the domain because I wanted to have all my my content, you know, over there at the servers, because because of one of the options that they have is the storage, the pooling, you know. So by having my content over there, now it's protected there, and that's it. The pool is there, so
yeah,
I have a less of a footprint on my site. But builds that I've tested, few weeks ago and stuff, I was able to add like a Windows 8 client with the the profile there, the way they do with the Microsoft password there, or Microsoft, what do they call it, account?
Sure, the account ID account.
So they have a little bit better. Because we had to jump through some hoops there before when we tried to connect a Windows 8 desktop to the Small Business Server Essentials. You had to play around with the credential manager, but apparently now it's with this guy because it's more or less the same underlying code and stuff like that, and because the Metro and all of that, so it seems to go a little bit better hand in hand, a little easier.
Yeah.
So, but that's it. What I'm going to try and check out on the weekend is the Mac client, because you see that's it on that screen there. Yeah, at the bottom you say it's download Mac. I don't think I'm not sure how that's going to work. How that works, if it's going to back up the PCs, because for instance, one of the thing I did read today is if you wanted to add another server, let's say you had a server 2008 R2 and it's running Exchange, right, and you want to add it to this server. All you have to do is add the connector on that server. So that's how you kind of migrate or connect it to a server. So, because remember before, like if you wanted to add the server, you had to go in some settings and change some stuff. Now it's done through the connector, just like when you add a PC, right? When you add a PC to the domain, you install the connector, and it handles all that hardware, that work, and that interfacing. So the thing is, if you have a Windows 2008 R2 server or whatever servers, and you want to add it to this guy, you just install the connector on there. But it doesn't back it up. Don't think that just because you install the connector, you'll be able to back up that server. No, what it'll do, like I said, it'll just give you the functionality. It's just like, oh, okay, now he's part of the domain. Apparently, there's a good article there if you want to post a link there. Ron Perman, I think, check out his site there. Christian, maybe take a look at, I think it's Title Required, and he tweeted something today, and he was adding an Exchange server to this SS Windows, what did he call it, WSE 12, Windows Server 12 Essentials. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
So, because that's it, with this version of server, unlike Small Business Server, I think Small Business Server you had Exchange in there, right?
Right. With the full, with the essentials, right?
The basic, whatever the Small Business Server, what was it called? Before it wasn't called Small Business Server Essential, it was called Small Business Server Standard, or just Small Business Server?
Well, I think they had Essentials and Standard, didn't they? Standard had all the... had all the bells and whistles, SharePoint, Exchange, and then Essentials just had the connector and the dashboard, and it was a slim down. Is that right? We need a SBS MVP on the show.
Yeah, well, that's this guy. You should get your hands on that guy, Ron Perman, or the other guy, No Geek Left Behind. What's his name there? Barrett? Jim? Tim?
Oh,
Barrett?
Tim Barrett. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, those guys are MVP guys, Small Business Service, so they know more along those lines.
Okay, I'm not a domain guy here. It's asking me for a name or fully qualified domain name of the server. I'm assuming that
the average guy dot local.
Dot local, right? And John, do you know, are they asking for both? Do I need to put the IP address in as well to make this connection? So
shouldn't.
Okay, it's not letting me. So I assume it's one or the other at this point. Cannot make the connection. All right, I have to look up the IP address.
Okay, so this now you're running the connector software, right? And you're trying to connect to the server.
Uh-huh. Let me make sure I spelled this right.
Yeah, just go, click on your folder on the bottom there, the yellow folder in the toolbar.
Mm-hmm.
Just open up your network connections. Yeah, click that guy and click on network.
Well, here's what it does, too. So
up there.
Yeah, there it is. It gives me the IP address. It gives me, Christian, you're saying this IVP6, right?
Yeah.
In there? So, John, can I just copy that in?
Well, then I would just put in the name.
What do you mean?
Yeah, just the server name. We'll go back to that page that we saw before. What was it called?
What? Hold on. Let me try this.
Click on network.
So, let's see what that does. Oh no, it doesn't take that one. Yeah. So it's hold on. We'll go back to the network. Here it is.
Is it one of the blue guys? What's it called?
It's this one down here. It's WinServe 2012 ESS.
And is it higher up in the blue? In the blue monitors?
No.
No.
And you know why that is?
No, I don't.
I was talking about. Is because it's a domain server, it's not going to be showing up as it used to from being a work group.
Yeah, just put that name, just however it's called there.
Okay.
Win server, whatever.
That's thinking. Yeah, there it goes. Okay, so that was, it didn't, the fully qualified domain maybe threw us off a little bit.
I'm wondering if that's only if you've already joined into the domain. That would be the other interesting thing too is if they configured this client when you're doing the setup to if it asked you do you want to join this computer to the domain, that would be something I'd be interested in them doing.
So one of the things I think it's also going to change now is after it does the reboot and all of that, like if you check your network settings, it's going to add it to, I think the DNS server is the, because you put in your IP. I'm not sure if it's going to give it a static IP address, but usually remember when you set up your network connections, it shows your IP address, it shows your DNS. Just click on the bottom there next to the speaker there where that little network connection is. Yeah, click there and say, does it say open network connections? I'm not sure if you have to left click or right click.
No, with this box open. Oh, there it goes.
Left click, open network connections. Click on that.
Okay.
Change adapter settings.
Now, this is a VM, too, John, so just remember.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just read what it says. Yeah, now, I don't know, right-click properties or right-click status.
Yep. A little slow. I'm running a bunch of stuff on this box. So, properties?
Yeah, or status. Click on status.
Status.
Details. Yeah, see how there it's, you have 1.1, default gateway 1.1, DHCP server, DNS server 1.1. See, that might change after when you reboot. Your server has a different IP address. It's not 1.1, right?
Okay, right. It's 1. I was going to look up the IP address on this one second. Let's do that.
Okay. So once you connect it, we'll see if this gets changed. This one's only going to change. So how's it going, the install?
I'll get back to it. There it is. Verifying the necessary components.
One thing is like if you have some of the older computers, like if you're, I guess you can connect an XP computer, right? And if it's one of your first time, and if you don't have that 3.5, right, you have to have .NET 3.5 or higher, then it'll try to install it if you don't have it.
1.21 is the server. Just so we get that out there. That's the IP address it picked up.
All right, everyone who's listening, start hitting his network.
It's all, you can't hit that network.
Oh, yes, we can.
John, you had, while this is installing, you had tried some add-ins on your box. What's working, what's not working from an add-in community standpoint?
Lights out? Do we have lights out?
What's that, Christian?
Do we have lights out?
Lights out working?
I have it. I didn't try it because that's at least lights out. There's a 2011 version, and I think he covered a few of those platforms. So that might be, I haven't tried it, but that might be a good candidate. What was the other one I tried? I was just thinking about an online backup one there. You know, if you tried CloudBerry or something like that, but again, Microsoft is giving you an add-in here, right, for a backup. I think the Windows Phone one, Phone Connector, that might be an interesting one to try. Because I saw that on a bill. What did I see that on? Oh, yeah, no, that was, it came with the Windows Storage Server 2011 Essentials. That add-in came with that for the Western Digital box. So some of the simple guys I think will work. I tried the Windows Home, Mike Craven's Windows Home Server Office, the Office add-in. That one it installed. But I think when I go to the web page, there's a lot of functionality in that one, right? You have, you know, the add-in, you have something in the console, then you have something that it pushes to your to the launchpad on your PC, so you have a connector there, and then you also have the web interface. It has some kind of stuff there, so you know you have to be able to, you know, attach to all those points, you know. So that one, I think it was broken. The web page stuff was broken.
I do want to say, for anybody watching live or on the recorded version, that this, I did not give a lot of resources to this client as a VM, so it's struggling a little bit to keep up. Let's see. So username for the server administrator account. Crap. Which one was the server? I think it's Jim. Okay. It'll tell me if it's not.
I tried installing it. I tried installing it different ways, and one way it failed. The best way I did it was through a USB stick. I put the whole ISO on a USB stick. I used that the Windows tool, and then got it.
The server itself or the client connector?
Yeah, the server. Yeah, the server. The server install. Because that's your best bet is to, you know, like testing out this stuff, put it on a USB stick. You know, create one of those, don't burn a CD. It's going to take, too long. You know, burning CDs is so 1990.
Okay, let me try a different account. Maybe we'll have to go back. If this doesn't work. I forget, when on the setup, it asked you, there we go. We'll put Windows. So when you set up the server, it asks you for a server account and a user account, and I just got mixed up.
Yeah, an administrator account, right, and then a standard user account.
Yeah. And this setup is very similar to the connector on 2011.
Yeah, it's very similar. The only thing is after when it reboots, it's going to ask you, do you want to move your stuff there? And that's the different part, whereas if you had Windows Home Server, it wouldn't be asking you that.
So it's making the connection?
Looks like it.
It's like watching paint dry. Any other, John, while we're doing this, any other things that you saw when you were installing or that you've been, what you saw that was unusual or that doesn't work like you thought it might?
Well, I was a little surprised at the dashboard, the way they got they really changed it. It's the latest build. Some of the other builds, they actually looked a little bit different. So to see that dashboard come up with those, I think it's yellow and orange squares on the left. that was different.
Yeah, we covered that kind of early on as we were doing this, and yeah, it's a different look. You know, it's definitely that Metro all caps look. One of the things, John, you mentioned when we were talking about this a night or two ago, I guess it was just last night, is because they're using words across the top instead of icons. If you have an add-in, let's just say Christian's add-in, Magic Wake on LAN, right?
Yeah.
If you put that in there, it's going to take up a huge chunk of the toolbar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're done here. And
so Christian, you should just write up a quick add-in just to, you know, just to put the screws to Windows Server 2012.
That's awesome. Just to put the screws to them. Okay, we're done. And I assume at this point it's going to open up. Right now it's trying to open up the add-in, the dashboard. So we'll give that a second here. Now, so, John, I don't, at this point, it hasn't forced me into the domain yet, right?
No. It's going to ask you to reboot.
Okay. Should I just reboot? It hasn't asked me to do that. Should I reboot
I'll
at this
get
point?
There.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Well, I don't know how it works on a VM, but it should say, okay, I'm going to be part of the network. Do you want to, you know, I have to reboot.
Yeah. Now, at this point, okay, so Windows Server 2012 Beta Essentials backup is in progress. It's already started backing up this box to the server. Let's take a peek. Let me bring up the server real quick here while we've got that. I'm not in the dashboard on this box, so I can't. Launchpad hasn't changed, right? Still backup, remote network access, shared folders and dashboard. And I am seeing. Let me flip this thing over.
So for me, I think this is the big attraction point where, again, the people who are on home server that, you know, really got it because they just wanted to be able to back up all their computers automatically. This will do that.
Yeah, should I try and, John, should I try and reboot and see what happens? I mean, it's still, at this point, it doesn't feel like I'm on the domain. If I want to go to the shared folders here.
Well, I'm surprised because that's it. When you install the connector, then when it finishes, it should ask you, it should say, almost like, you know, I'm rebooting. Basically, I'm rebooting. Can't do anything else. I have to reboot. So it just finished and closed the.
It just finished and then started backing up. You can see here. Let me.
The PC's there, right?
Let me pop back over to the PC. One second here. God, I love Google Hangouts for this kind of stuff. It's just amazing how good this is. Okay, so you can see I clicked on the server folders. It's seeing. Now, the folders on the network, these are all network folders that are available to me, when I click shared folders here. You can see down in the bottom, right here, you can see Windows Server 2012 Beta Essentials, backups in progress. I'm already 10% of the way done, and it hasn't rebooted. I'm a little worried, John. I expected it to reboot, and it hasn't yet. I'm assuming... If I sign in, let me sign in here. I'm going to need to use which account? I'll just pick one here. And it'll probably kick me out of the dashboard on the server. Let's log in and see what that does. Let's see, it's starting the remote app, remote desktop. Again, this is not a very powerful client. I'm kind of encouraged so far. This isn't quite as bad as I thought it was going to be. John, I just posted, I just did a post, too, at homeservershow.com that's got some screenshots on it. I went into the first look, grabbed just about as many screenshots as I could. If you take a peek at that and you want to add some to it, let me know, and we can kind of collaborate on that.
Okay.
Okay, so that says, yeah, you have a dashboard open somewhere else, so I will pop that open here. And there's the beautiful orange and yellow.
That
this is so 70s. This is so United States 1970s. Yeah. Okay, let's
metro-sized.
Metroized. Yeah. All right. So there's the box right there, on its way, backing up, about 20% backed up. At this point.
Huh. And it's not the grayed out, eh? Because your client, see how it's like a little gray. It's not like dark. Anyway.
No, no. Let's take. We can view the computer properties. It's, no backups available yet, but. Well, this is interesting. So it says file history. Manage file history settings for computers running Windows 8 or later, right? Because why is that?
Yeah, well, that's it. Check out the there's a blog post that came out this week there. Microsoft was talking a little bit more about that file history. So that's for, like, your versioning and all of that, right? And basically what happens is it gives you that option, or you can take advantage of that option when you add, like, a USB drive or you add the computer to a network. Like, if it sees that there's another location that it could, you know, another piece of hardware, like an external piece of hardware that it could copy your file history, then it'll give you that option. So that's good. And that's it. This is something that now with Windows Server 2012 Essentials, it's going to be able to manage that on the server.
We talked about that on. Did we talk about that on the home server show? That file history? Didn't we go in there and open that?
Couple of weeks ago. We talked about file history, but how you have to. Originally, I don't know if in the later builds now if it's automatic, but before you had to have your folder had to be part of libraries. So if you had some folder on your desktop, and then you would go up and you look at the top, and you would see the tab for file history, and it would be grayed out. It's like, how come it's grayed out? How come I can't change it? Because that folder has to be part of your libraries. And once you add it into the libraries, under pictures, music, or videos, or documents, or whatever, then it should appear. So there's some kind of interaction there. I don't know how that's done, how they do that. But
John, while that's backing up, we brushed over the storage.
There you go, file history. See that?
Where now?
Under storage. You have a file history backup folder.
Oh, right there. Yeah. Yeah, that's where they'll sit, right? We kind of brushed over storage spaces because I didn't set up extra hard drives in advance on the VM. Have you messed with that yet in your build?
No. Okay. No, I didn't get into it. I did click. What's neat there, I think in this dashboard, like if you click on settings up there on the top and on the right, yep. That's it. You know, now you get all that server. Is it in that one? No, I don't think it's there.
What are you looking for?
Close that one. Click on the red X there, where the number two is.
That's the alert viewer.
No. There was something that I was able to click. Because usually on the server, right, you get that server manager. Right, Christian? What's that thing there? Usually on the bottom there, you got the server manager where you get all your, all your stuff. It tells you your services. It tells you your username and profiles and all the mumble that people are used to getting when they go log into a server. You know, they're used to that server manager. I thought it was one of those icons.
I know what you're talking about.
It would be down on the bottom by the start. Well,
that's not on the server itself, though, right? That's always been on the server itself, not on the
On the server. Yeah, but I think there was a way to open it in through the dashboard here.
No.
Because remember, like now with 2011, and if you opened on version 1, when you tried to open, let's say, Windows updates. Yeah, Windows update. Mm-hmm. Like you wouldn't be able to see it, the interface there. But with 2011 Essentials and this that, when you click on, you were able to click on Windows Update or Manage, and it actually opened, it brought it to you on your desktop here. So the server's, Windows Update or the control panel came up to you.
Right, like
same
that.
Thing here,
right.
I think that there's an option there that you can, when you click on the manager, like it'll pop up, even though it's usually at the server side, you should be able to see it there.
Well, couldn't I? I can do this, right? And I can. You want computer? Which you wanted the server manager?
Yeah, where's
what are you trying to get to?
The server manager, right here.
Oh, isn't that?
So I'm on the client now, and I'm accessing this through the dashboard, right?
Yeah.
So I'm now in the server manager. Is that what you're talking about, John?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a quick way to get to that there from the.
That's pretty neat.
I had to drill. I drilled through. You know what I did in this case is I just opened up. I came down here and got to it through the update, right? And then once I'm in the update tab, I just go to Control Panel, clicking. Wow. I'm sure there's easier ways to do this, but you have some pretty
full access. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a pretty powerful thing, because that's where you're going to go in and play around with the users and accounts and the permissions and all that stuff. You're going to play around with, adding roles and that sort of thing. And it's
task schedulers
that's like
in here.
That's the go-to place. Like, right. You know, the regular guys there, the beginners will go through the dashboard, but the pros, that's the one that they want to look for, is that server manager. So,
the way you would do that, oh no, I was thinking if I was on the server, because I was like, oh yeah, you do that through the Metro interface. Well, no, you would only do that if you're on the server through the Metro interface.
The other good thing is the screen that you had went to there is like, sometimes, you know, again with the server, it's like, how do I power this thing off? How do I shut it down? And I think that's it. If you saw that there was a red square somewhere there where there was actually a shutdown.
Yeah. In here in settings, right.
Yeah, because, you know, with Windows 8, right? Because, again, you know, this is like part of the Windows 8 environment. You know, Windows 8, you have to look for that charm on the right side and try to find it and, you know, hit the screen and then click on it. But at least, boom, here's like it's your old style shutdown or restart. So it's good that it's up there.
So, Christian, that was one click to shut down, by the way, just so you know, one click to shut down.
Yeah, but that's from a dashboard, not from a regular operating system.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Some guys, they were talking about putting a shortcut on the desktop, and that's it. And then you give it a command, shut down, slash, R, or whatever it is. Reboot and stuff.
Here's the here's some quick, you know, I think you come on the side here. I clicked quick status, so view summary server configuration status. So, you know, active user accounts, server folders 8, what are on. It's a little bit of a dashboard access to your.
Yeah, something that was neat there is I think it was on this screen I saw. I'm not sure, maybe on their setup. Did you notice when you set up the server that it told you to? I think it did the web interface and it also did a VPN. Like right out the gate, it tries to set up a VPN for you.
Oh no, I didn't notice that on setup.
Yeah, like when you install the server part.
So it's in the middle of a backup. Do you think I should reboot it and see what it does at this point? Certainly it'll gracefully recover from if I reboot the client, right?
There's a couple of tips there, like click on that the higher up there, the little pull-down menu on the top on the right there of the launch pad.
Okay. Where,
that little guy. Sometimes that's helpful for a lot of people under settings. Because sometimes people find the launch pad annoying. So, you know, you see you have an option there where it says always minimize when you start. That originally, that wasn't available in the in some of the earlier versions of the Essential products, you know, the Colorado products. So it's like, really, I don't need the launch pad. I never use it, and this thing is forever popping up. So you could say just minimize it, and then if you set it to, let's say, one of the people, right, at the workstation, you don't want them to know any alerts, you know, like it says scope of alerts to be presented. You know, you don't want somebody to know that, you know, the server didn't back up or this and that. Like, you don't want, you might have this, you know, this older 60-year-old woman that she's every time a little red box pops up, she cringes. So it's like, okay, just turn off the alerts.
My mother.
Don't give her any alerts. So that's nice.
I find it super weird how I think they might have something going on with the alert system because it keeps re-pushing that pop-up after every percent.
It does. That's kind of annoying, isn't it? I mean, not that bad, right, obviously. So are there, John, do you know of any settings for the alerts? Well scope
right there,
of alerts.
You can say none.
Yeah. Yep.
But I guess it's a bit like, I'm surprised that it's always coming up like that.
So I'm going to shut it off and I just applied it. It still is coming up. Even though I said none, maybe I got to click OK. So let's click OK and see if that if they eventually.
The other thing, you know what? You just gave me an idea. Maybe I'd like to try it. Maybe you can give it a try. Is the you know that add-in by what was his name? I forget his name. He did that home server status add-in. He's in our forms.
Mm-hmm.
That worked for the Colorado products.
Right,
it would be interesting to see how if it interfaces well with this version.
Right.
I'll have to try it.
I have to give it a shot. What's this? So let's just, while we're waiting for this backup to finish. So obviously, if I click on this, it's already backing up. This, I assume, is the backup. Hey, if I'm not if I don't have a backup going, I could click that and it will start a backup for me.
Did you look at the web stuff and the media stuff?
No, we haven't done that yet. This gives me the backup status here if I wanted to get that. Yeah, no, I was going to reboot before we did that. But this other feature, remote web access, I have not I haven't messed with that very much since version 1 either.
Okay, what about the shared folders there? Show me what you have as far as shared folders.
Yeah, let's close this out real quick. Hold on. You can hear Sarah laughing back there.
That's a daily occurrence, multiple times.
So in the evenings, whenever we do this, she's in the other room watching TV. It's just on the other side of the wall over there, and of course you guys can't see me, but she's watching TV, just laughing away. Okay, so this is what I have access to, John.
Okay, yeah. See, I see there you have music, videos, and pictures. So that's okay, because I think one guy, did you turn on the media stuff in the connector?
I did turn it on, yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I think that's the story. If somebody had a question, right, they didn't click it on, turn it on over there. So in here, you know, that's it. It's like, okay, I kind of want to put in my music and videos and all of that, but the shared folders didn't show up. So that's it. They'll only show up in the dashboard when you set up that that media stuff.
Yeah, when Christian, if you go back to the beginning of the video here, Christian and I were going through the folders. Those didn't exist yet. And let me get logged in here, and since I closed it out, and we'll see those coming back. The backup should be done here in a second. I do want to reboot. I am very skeptical that it's not going to force me in the domain at this point. And God, if I reboot
it will.
You don't think it will?
No.
How is that possible, John? How is that possible it didn't make me reboot and join the domain?
I have no idea. Okay. I think maybe it's because you're, I don't know if it has anything to do with being on a VM. That's the only thing I see different.
No, you wouldn't think so.
That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. Okay, so, Christian, when you and I were in here earlier, right, that music and pictures and recorded TV and videos was not in there. And when we went into settings and media, I turned that on. John, if I turn it off, will those folders disappear, you think?
I don't know. Give it a try.
Let's click OK. Nope. They stay there. So it must be a one-way operation. We're at 92%. Okay. Must be a one-way operation only.
Yeah. So that's, I know in the media you can set the quality. And hopefully they worked out a couple of bugs there, because some guys were finding that they were having some issues with streaming some content.
And you've got low, medium, high, and best.
Yeah,
high is not good enough.
Yeah, high is not good.
No, high is not good enough.
You want four levels. And then, I think under customize, you could say whether or not you want the shared folder to be part of...
Let's take a peek at that.
Do you have there? So you have your CG videos, yeah.
Yeah, so shared
folders.
This is
where you can say yes or no. Or let's say you've created more videos folder, right? Because these are the default ones. Let's say you created a recorded TVs or a TV show one or a movies folder and this and that. So they would start to show up over here, and at this point you could say, yeah, I want them to be available for to have access to.
Now, I imagine if I start a Media Center on Windows 7, it's going to see that same connector and say, hey, there's a, like it did with 2011, hey, there's a, when you know, you have a connector to the home server, not in this case, it'll say to the Windows Server 2012, do you want to, since recorded TV is in there, I'm sure that's going to work the same exact way. So if I record it using my HD Home Run, it'll remove those recorded shows up to the server. And compress them for me or whatever it does along those lines. Okay,
yeah,
I think the backup is done. Let's look. So, successful. Here's the moment of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let us do a reboot. Here we go. Let us restart. This is what I love about VirtualBox and Google Plus is it won't disconnect. It's going to show the whole process of going down and coming back up. Which is pretty cool. So we'll reboot that. I'm skeptical. If this works, this could be amazing. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, we all expect it to force it on the domain at this point.
I'll pay, Jim, you should send me $20 in the mail if it joins it. All right, you should send me $20 in the mail. All right, I'll send you $20 in the mail if it does force you to join the domain.
If it does force.
You're paying me. You're giving me a payout.
I should pay you just for all the work that you did on the website this weekend. That's what I should pay you for. All right, here we go. Yeah, it's nice using VirtualBox because you can see the whole experience, you know, in Google Plus. It's just dynamite. And we wait. Now, did I have a password? I did have a password, so. 1 more moment. I only gave it a gig of RAM. I probably should have given it a little bit more.
Ha! I win. Pay me money.
Yeah, that's not the experience I was expecting.
Oh, you know, the other thing is, I don't think Home Premium can join the domain, so there goes that idea right there.
So if this was Pro or
I don't think it would force you because I think they're serving a wider range of clients with this product. So yeah, you couldn't.
Yeah, that's probably what it is because it's Home Premium, right? It doesn't have the functionality built in. It's not Pro.
So you can pay me $20.
I owe you more than $20, Christian. Okay, well that's interesting.
But that makes sense because that's the way it's been for a long time with domain technology. I wouldn't expect them to change that for one product.
But that's a different. I mean, I think that's different than we've been. Not different. All right. So if most people have Windows 7 Home Premium and they're home server users and they didn't want to add it to the domain, this is now working just like home server did. In this scenario, right? Granted, in this scenario, it's working like I think that's pretty positive, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we still don't want to pay $425 for the thing. Right? Right? I mean, we still don't want to do that.
This way you can get your server and you can get your Windows 8s and your Windows 7s and all your stuff.
We got blasted somewhere, or where was it? I think it was a post that Dave put out, and some of the guys reminded us sternly that TechNet is for testing purposes only and not for just willy-nilly on your home network. So, for using in production. Yeah. Well, then somebody raced to our defense and they said, "Well, hey, I'm using them that way by, you know, I test them by using them that way in my home network." And I thought, "Yeah, that's very cool." So, I wonder what happens then. So, if I fire up a VM of Windows 8 Pro. That's not out yet, is it? I can't get that.
Well, like I said, it's gonna. The thing is, it's gonna tell you it's gonna reboot. It says it has to reboot, and when it reboots, it's gonna. There's gonna be a little checkbox, and it's gonna say, "Do you want to add to the domain or not domain?" It doesn't say add to the domain. It says, "Do you want to move your files to the server?" Something to that effect. And by saying that, bang, by checking that, you're in. You've just signed the commitment.
You
just made a commitment.
It's a deal. So yes. if it's one of the OSs that supports joining a domain, it's going to ask you that. And what if you say no? At that point, is it you're okay?
Yeah, and then you can say no. You're up.
All right.
You're out of the club. No soup for you.
Wow, we got 3 comments already. We just posted, or Dave just posted the first look pictures over at thehomeservershow.com. So if you want to see some static, certainly we're doing it live here on the video, but if you want to see some screenshots of what we just did, you can, and I don't have them all over there, but you can head over to homeservershow.com and take a look at my post. Yeah. Very cool. Three folks, PC Doc and John Stutzman and Dave made some comments. So, what else? We're at the hour and 10 minute mark since we got started, Christian. Anything else that you want to cover on this? I think this might be a good point to wrap this piece up and certainly we're going to continue to talk more. I'd love to get Windows 8 client installed, and then maybe come back and show that joining. So, John, you said this. I know you said this. Or maybe I wasn't listening. So, Windows 8 release preview, right? That's the most current version that we have available to us, mm-hmm. right? That, it's when I get done installing it, based on your experience, it's going to ask me, do I want to, what's the question it's going to ask me?
Well, when you do the Windows 8, it's just going to be a little more seamless. Yeah, that's the word, more seamless. It's like, because that's it, when you start with your Windows Live password ID there, right, your Microsoft ID, when you log in, it's done differently than with the home server versions and all of that. So I think that's still going to work. You're not going to really see any problems. It's going to interface well.
And is it going to join me to the domain?
If you have the pro version, yeah, which that's what everybody has, right?
Okay, so the release preview is pro.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and can I opt out right there on the client setup, and it won't add me to the domain?
Supposed to be, that's it, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it should give you that little thing, the little box where, you know, do you want to move over? No. You want to come live, you know, it's like the kids, you know, living at dad's. You want to come live at dad's or you want to stay over there? Because if you come to dad's, you have to live by our rules.
So dad is the domain and mom is not on the domain, and you have to decide if you're going to live at dad's and get access to all the... And really, Christian, from a domain perspective, what do I get? What's the benefit of being on the domain? That's not, I mean, is it really just... that my settings carry across with
no,
me?
No, I mean, that's just one instance, but I mean, everything's integrated much more tightly knit than you can get with a work group.
Okay.
It's like working in the same office building instead of being in the same corporation, you know?
But for most people...
You can also get like updates pushed to the PC when you're part of the domain, Windows, WSUS, Windows Update stuff. But you know, one of the things now that everybody's kind of going with Windows 8... desktops is like that's it with the domain. You had the roaming profiles and stuff like Christian had said earlier. You know, you can log into another computer and get all your stuff. But now with Windows 8, even just the clients, you know, you're not even part of the domain. If you have your computer and then you go to your son's computer and you log in with your Windows Live password on his, it'll go up to the cloud and it'll sync that stuff with that PC. But I think you have to put the PCs as a trusted PC. You know, some guy might say, "Hey, I don't want your stuff on my computer. You know, I don't want your footprint on me on my computer." So when you trust with Windows 8, right, you have that thing where you trust PCs. So now what happens is it'll always sync those PCs. So now you have some sort of like the poor man's roaming profile there.
All right, guys. Anything else at first look? It looks like sounds like we've got some things to maybe come back to. Looking at, I'd like to look at what it looks like to install Windows 8 release preview on that and see and maybe join it. Sounds like we could dig a little bit into maybe some of the media components that are in there. I'll be honest, I'm a lot less intimidated. I mean, well, I was really never intimidated, but I'm a lot less concerned. I'm a lot less concerned now by doing this and going through this exercise. I'm gonna build a VM of Windows 7 Pro and see what that looks like, and we'll verify that. Maybe we'll record that as well. But Christian, anything else you want to add?
I'm kind of excited to see the essentials, particularly because I think they, I don't think they ditched what. I think they got a lot out of having the home server product line and bringing it to end of life, because I feel like looking at this, I'm seeing the best of what we got out of home server. They put in what worked from home server and they left out what didn't, but I also see they're combining that with the domain technologies that geeks like us love to eat up, so I feel like they're broadening their market a lot in terms of covering everything from the very entry level to the mid-range, which at the mid-range in the domain line you can do a lot of stuff. So I'm kind of excited to see, especially with the price point being $425. Yeah, the home server guys are going to say that's way too expensive because they're used to the $100 Newegg bit. But
or $50 recently, right?
Right.
I mean,
but
it's been cheap.
But I mean, for the the domain user, they're going to say, yeah, this is a pretty good deal for a standard license. I'm getting a lot of features that, yeah, just a really interesting combination of features. Now, you won't hear me, you know, praising the works of Metro, but I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel like it clogged what this interface did. I felt like the dashboard was very easy and accessible. I was impressed that I could get back to the control panel and see other things. That remote desktop terminal service was behaving in a very powerful manner that you can't do even right now. And so I'm kind of excited to see if they can really market both of these technologies together, because they're really combining what they got out of Home Server into their small business model. So I'm interested.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
They got me hooked.
I agree with you. There's a lot more power in there than I kind of expected. I expected it to be kind of clobbed together in a kind of a disjointed way. Christian, you were particularly hard on me on Thursday when we talked about Metro. Did I just hear a confession from you that Metro is not as bad as you thought, maybe?
I still kind of hate the really flashy, consumer-y Windows 8 thing, but I feel like it's minimalist enough in the server edition that it's...
Okay. Okay. No, I'm with you. I know I took the other side on when we talked about this the last time. I took the other side and said, you know, you're full of crap. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. But I didn't really know. And as I've dealt with this yesterday and today, I don't think it's even from a server administrator perspective, I don't think it's that big of a barrier. I mean, I probably couldn't say that in all honesty before, because I'd only messed with it on Windows 8, not on the server. And it's kind of kludgy, but I think getting past it isn't that difficult. So I'm glad you and I got the chance. If you haven't listened yet, go back and listen to the Home Tech Podcast, show number 79, and we had a big debate, although I cut chunks of it out, but we had a good debate about the Metro interface on the server, and Christian, I don't disagree with you that server administrators really don't need the Metro interface, but certainly that's what Microsoft's pushing, so it's going to be interesting as they overcome that. John, any final comments from you?
Yeah, I was gonna say that if you notice that if you go through the desktop PC or the server, like let's say a screen on the server instead of doing it remotely, and if you open Internet Explorer in the Metro, it'll actually jump to the desktop and open up there. Whereas Windows 8, if you're in the Metro IE and you open it up, it'll stay in the Metro environment.
Oh, right. You don't have the Metro IE. Yeah, on the server is what you're saying.
Yeah, you have the Internet icon, Internet Explorer icon, but it'll open up the browser on the desktop.
It opens IE 10.
That was a nice thing. Which, some people, you know, like they say, you know, you're on the server, don't be using Internet Explorer on the server, you know, or then you'll have to worry about antivirus and all that stuff. And then the other thing is, as far as Metro is concerned, they did put the icon there for the Windows Store. So if you feel bad, you can actually go to the Windows Store and get your photos and your Kindle book and all that stuff.
Another random thought is, do we know, John, if this can be joined to an existing domain, the server?
And set up? Can you join it to an existing domain? I think you can. I think it asked, do you want to add? I wish I'd have paid more attention when I was setting it up.
Well, I know, like, because remember, like, the Small Business Server Essentials, Small Business Server 2011 Essentials, that guy had to be, like, the first, first server.
Does this?
And storage server you could, like, add in our 2008 R2, you could add. So I'm not sure. I think this guy is kind of along that, you know, it's like he wants to be the first guy. He wants to be the main guy. And then you add servers to him and not necessarily add him to other servers. And like I said earlier, I know that the easy way to add the other services is you just go and you install the connector, and bang, those guys are added to the server. So there you go.
Christian, I think we've got a little work to do on that. I blew through the setup to just get the server going, and so I think maybe we've got a little work to do on setting that up. I'll tell folks, if you're listening to the recorded version of this, and you've downloaded the beta and you want to do some setups, I'm going to post this video over at homeservershow.com as well, so folks have an opportunity to watch it there, as well as at theaverageguy.tv. If you've done the setup or you've got some domain You figured some stuff out from that. I know that's been one of the single biggest questions folks have had in the last week is, what does it mean from a domain standpoint? Send an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, or if you want to talk about it in the Home Server Show community, podcast@homeservershow.com. We've got some forums set up over at homeservershow.com as well. If you're new to that community and you want to talk about it, you can pop over there. And that's probably right now, that's probably the best place most users talking about it. You can also go out to Facebook and search The Average Guy Podcast, and we've got a community chatting about just general tech. So if you stumbled across this and you're not a part of the Home Server Show community and you want to talk general tech or anything like that, join us on Facebook. Just search for The Average Guy Podcast Network, and we'll do that for Christian and John. Guys, thanks for coming out tonight and for joining us. I appreciate you guys watching this. We'll kind of dig in a little bit. Again, if you want to, we need to cover storage spaces. We need to think about some of the domain stuff. We need to dig in a little bit to the media pieces. We've got some work to do, and we'll have fun over the next couple weeks doing it. Guys, I'm going to end the broadcast now. John and Christian, if you guys, I'd like to chat with you individually, so I'll restart a hangout here in a second, and we'll do that. But if you're watching on YouTube, thanks for coming out, and we'll just watch the community, watch Twitter, @JayCollison. I'll tweet if we're going to be back out again and doing some of this stuff. Thanks again, guys. Have a good night, and I appreciate you coming out.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.